WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The documentary film Metallica, Some Kind of Monster, chronicles 2 years in the life of the heavy metal band. Metallica sold 90 million albums since 1981, but 3 years ago the group was torn by personal and creative differences. The band's solution was to hire a therapist, and they let two filmmakers listen in. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
It might sound like an insult to say the new documentary Metallica, Some Kind of Monster, is like a nonfiction remake of This Is Spinal Tap. But that landmark mockumentary had a real subject. It was about heavy metal legends fighting to maintain their status as rock gods in the face of middle age, petty jealousy, the toll of reckless hedonism, and of course, idiocy. Some Kind of Monster isn't a joke, but it has the same tension as Spinal Tap between the ferocious energy it takes to keep a monster metal group aloft and the weight of the real world, which finally drives the members of Metallica into group therapy and beyond. Now, why would the group open itself up to having this documented? It helped that they had a relationship with the filmmakers, Joe Berlinger and Bruce Sinofsky. They donated songs to Paradise Lost, a devastating documentary about Memphis teenagers convicted of the murder of three little boys. And the Metallica documentary was intended as a relatively straightforward look at the making of an album, the first in years for a group that sold nearly 100 million records. But as the process begins in the movie, that old black magic isn't there. The longtime bassist has decamped, and there's something eating at the singer, James Hetfield, who's quarreling with the drummer and co-founder, Lars Ulrich. The band engages a therapist to help them talk through their problems. But Hetfield still can't rise to the occasion, can't manufacture the adrenaline or endorphins or whatever it takes to make great music.
I don't know, I guess the playing part, being in the room, and then mainly being in the room with Lars, playing music together, I guess I had higher expectations. And I don't know, maybe I'm disappointed in myself. Maybe, I don't know.
Want to talk about that? I mean, what does that mean?
I'm not enjoying being in the room with you playing.
Not having any fun. Let it be known to you that I'm certainly not having a lot of fun either. But I am not interested in playing music with you if you're not happy in there. I just don't want to become a parody. Okay, so if you're not happy playing music with me.
After that, there's a nasty exchange about Hetfield's guitar playing, which Ulrich calls stock. I'd have played that scene, but every other word would be bleeped. Hetfield angrily takes off, and the next anyone hears, he's in rehab for like 9 months. And so Metallica faces its own mortality. We see Ulrich twisting in limbo, having just alienated masses of fans with a lawsuit against Napster, now the face of a greedy rock star and stewing in his own impotence. A scene with his Danish dad, a former tennis star, and an amazing figure with a white beard out of Lord of the Rings is an eye-opener. The patriarch is a stern judge, with no patience for people who settle for stock guitar playing or anything status quo. You can see where Ulrich gets his critical impatience, and maybe why he'd push the boundaries and commission a documentary like this one. Berlinger and Sadovsky make themselves part of the story when Hetfield comes back. And that transparency throws the question back at the viewer. Will Hetfield be strong enough to survive our scrutiny now that he's so undefended? It's quite a contrast, this quiet, clean, and sober man, his image intercut with shots of his prime as a Dionysian, long-haired, boozy metal titan. Suddenly, his life is structured, his Metallica participation limited to 4 hours a day. And we watch his partner Ulrich chafe against these restraints. At some point, all successful rock bands confront what Max Weber called the bureaucratization of charismatic leadership. But isn't that bureaucracy what metal generally rails against? And what to do about that touchy-feely therapist? Must they shed him to regain their potency and swagger on stage as metal men? Hetfield raises the ultimate question in a climactic performance before inmates at San Quentin. Can you have aggression, the kind of head-banging fury that gave birth to heavy metal, without negative energy? Metallica, Some Kind of Monster, is loose and uninsistent, yet the underpinnings keep it riveting. It's about a youth culture that makes all aging graceless, a therapeutic culture that makes all aggression suspect, and a capitalist culture that makes the potential collapse of a zillion-dollar enterprise like Metallica the stuff of high drama. You might think that Metallica is just chunky, non-melodic noise. I do, although I like a few songs better now that I know from whence they came. But the band's implosion and reassembly makes for one of the most marvelous rock documentaries of all time.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate.